to center my thoughts tonight on a verse of scripture found in 3 Nephi, the 5th chapter, in the 53rd verse. The words of Jesus Christ, "And blessed are all they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled with the Holy Ghost." Now we've heard in the past two sermons somewhat about righteousness. In fact, considerable about it. Last night, during a part of the sermon, I was very deeply touched when I realized that the Spirit had touched that speaker the same as I had felt touched. And I felt a very significant spiritual experience for myself to see how the Spirit of God works. When he spoke about a time when the saints of God and the covenant people of the Lord would be armed with righteousness and the power of God in great glory. Because I realized how that touched with the key verse I had chosen tonight. "And blessed are all they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled with the Holy Ghost." And there is a promise. It is important that we hunger and thirst after righteousness, even as we hunger and thirst after the things that are important for the sustenance of our physical body. The same must we hunger and thirst after this righteousness which will sustain our spiritual body in the days ahead. And you notice it said, those who do that shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. I like the words of Nephi in 2 Nephi 14:6, wherein he said, "If ye will enter in by the way and receive the Holy Ghost, it will shew unto you all things what ye should do." And so we cannot discount the importance of the functioning of the Holy Ghost in our lives. If we will enter in by the way, and what is that way? The gate by which ye shall enter is repentance and baptism, and then cometh a remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. That is the gate. Then the promise of the Holy Ghost. And if you'll enter in by the way, there is the promise of that Holy Ghost. It will be vital in our lives. And as you see time unfold, it will become increasingly more vital. We cannot discount the importance of it, because it will shew unto you all things what ye should do. So if you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, the way is to hunger and thirst after righteousness. It must become a part of our lives. I've chosen a passage of scripture that I would like to read at this time from 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter and the 8th verse. And I want us to consider these things. Not too long ago here in a prayer service, after I was one in charge, and then during the service, I felt directed to read two of these verses. But I'm going to reread them tonight, and most of you weren't here to hear them anyway. 2 Corinthians 4:8. And note this verse, and I'm going to break it up. I'm going to give some related references to it before I complete 8 through 10. "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed." And I want you to think upon that. Troubled on every side. Daniel in 12:1 said it would be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even down to that time. Christ spoke of this day of tribulation, such as has never been since there was a nation or ever will be. It speaks of a day of tribulation such as that. Now, even though this fit many years ago to a people, as the Apostle Paul spoke to them, yet it fits today to you to whom I am speaking. We are troubled on every side. Could you discount that for even one moment? There is trouble wherever you turn. I hear different ones of you speak of the trouble and the trying things, even where you work. There's trouble in schools. There's trouble among nations. Speak a little bit more about that a bit later. We're living in a trying time. Indeed, a great trying time. But this plainly says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. So don't give up because there's trouble today. But the important thing, don't become distressed because of it. Keep your hope upon Jesus Christ. Grasp the rod of iron, even the Word of God, that can lead you to the tree of life and give you that peace, that inner peace, that joy that can make your soul happy and can make your heart happy. For that was a happy experience when Lehi partook of that. He saw it was a beautiful experience. It can be yours and it can be mine. We are perplexed, but not in despair. And indeed, this is a day of perplexity. Jesus Christ saw our day. Let's turn for the moment to Luke, the 21st chapter. This is found in verses 25 through 26. And note this, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. The sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. You note that? What it said? Did you make a mental image of it? A mental note of it? Signs in the sun and in the moon and the stars. That is a part of it. But notice this, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. Perplexity is bewilderment. It is uncertainty. We do live in a day of uncertainty. There is distress of nations. Not one of us could deny that. Look what is unfolding in the Middle East. Look what is unfolding in South America. Look what is unfolding worldwide. There is distrust among nations. And this nation that you and I live in once was looked to by most of the world as one, as a great leader. They looked to it as one that they would like to be like, but gradually the distrust is coming toward our nation. Many nations would like to see us hurt, little realizing it is this nation that has helped and relieved so many of the world. And yet they look at us with distrust today. It is a day of distress. Among the Arabian nations, war is going on at this very moment. Iraq and Iran and others there. And I won't go much into that this day, but certainly it is a day of distress. And it said it is with perplexity or uncertainty. another meaning of that word. They are uncertain what to do, how to go. And so the answer is plain and simple as can be this night. We must turn to God. We know another scripture in the book of Ether that speaks of this land that you and I live upon. And if we will but serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ, we will be kept free from bondage in all other nations upon the face of the earth. And it is important that we serve that God of the land, who is Jesus Christ. For if we fail to do this, we can fall by the wayside. Let's read on here a bit further from the book of Corinthians, 4th chapter of 2 Corinthians. Yes, perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. There's a scripture here in 3rd Nephi, the 5th chapter, in verse 57. And blessed are all they who are persecuted for my name's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Didn't say it would be free from persecution. It didn't say it would be free from trial or trouble. But I like this scripture. And I read it a while back and I thought, what a moving scripture this is. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Troubled, but not distressed. Cast down, but not destroyed. The forces of evil can destroy no one if they're armed with righteousness, if they hunger and thirst after righteousness and become filled with the Holy Ghost. Always bearing about, and I want you to notice this, a little different trend of thinking. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus Christ might be made manifest in our body. And that to me is a significant statement tonight. In other words, remember the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, the impact that that made upon mankind, but even more important, his resurrection. He died that man might live. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. That his life might be made manifest. He was a humble, patient, long-suffering person. Meek and lowly in heart. And there are scriptures that support this. I won't turn to them. He was an example for each one of us. He came here to do the will of his Father who was in heaven. And he in turn expects us to do his will. He was persecuted, but he didn't give up. He was troubled on every side. He preached with the power of the Holy Ghost. He tried to reach out under the multitudes of people. Some he reached out to, and others forsake him. There even come a time when Jesus Christ gave unto his believers, his disciples, those who were converted under the gospel of Christ, certain responsibilities. They thought them too heavy. And it said many of them walked no more with him. And so we might look in our lives tonight. We who have been converted under the gospel of Jesus Christ, lest we become a castaway. That was when the constant fears of Paul, when he had run his life, that he might do something, lest he become a castaway. And so we must watch, lest we become a castaway. and walk no more with Jesus Christ. Because let me tell you, there's things that will shortly unfold that will be so trying to you. Unless you're founded in Jesus Christ and in our Heavenly Father, ye shall not stand. You cannot stand under the arm of flesh, no matter who you are or where you are. But we do have a God who can sustain us. And so be thankful that we can hope in Him. I would like to turn to 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, and read verses 12 and 13. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Did say it would be, didn't it? As though some strange thing happened unto you. Let me tell you, it happened to a lot of others. Alma gloried in the tribulation and the trial, but to know that he was supported in them was the important thing. And let me tell you, the Lord can support you in them. Now, I do not have to read what Alma said to believe that, to read what Jesus Christ said to believe it, because I too have had firsthand witnesses and experiences which shows that God can support you. He supported me in time of burden and in time of trial. When I have left here heavy burdens, as heavy burden that I thought maybe I couldn't even travel, and I prayed and the Lord supported me in my burdens, and I was able to reach out unto the children of men as I traveled, helping them with their trials and their troubles. I still had my burdens. The Lord helped me carry them. I'm a first-hand witness of that. And thanks be to God this night for His goodness toward me and toward you. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. So rejoice, because you become a part of Christ's sufferings. I would like to turn now to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and start reading with verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And so I hope we each might set our house in order, that we might be able to inhabit that building of God, a house not made with hands, a house in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our house, which is from heaven. And so we look forward to this. We have had those that I spoke to this year, earlier this year. Brother Yates, I will use his name. I took time after conference to spend a day with him. He looked forward to leaving this house of clay and being with God. Because of his racked body, when he felt the service was over, he left an example of service, even though in great suffering. And yet he looked forward in all this to this very place, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. And that is the thing I want us to think upon tonight. Let us be clothed with righteousness that we've heard a lot about. But let us be careful lest we be found naked. I want to use a related scripture over here in Revelations, the 3rd chapter. It's found in verses 14 through 22. A little longer reading, but I want us to think upon it as a statement. And it says here, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen." And the Amen here is Jesus Christ, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Jesus Christ was the beginning of the creation of God. "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Now this was written that you and I might profit this day and in the days ahead. Because if we become lukewarm, we can become spewed out of his mouth. Now why did they find themselves in such a circumstance as this? "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing." Found themselves trusting in the arm of flesh, in the riches of this world, saying they had need of nothing. And then what was the statement made to them? "Knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked?" To tell a person that had all kind of money and riches that he was naked, would he believe it? And even clothed his physical body? He was naked spiritually. He was wretched and miserable and poor and blind. He did not understand the way of life. "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich." Yes, that thou mayest be rich. I have a scripture here, and before finishing this, that I'd like to read from 2 Nephi, the 6th chapter, verses 99 and 100. "Come, my brethren, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore, do not spend money for that which is of no worth, nor your labor for that which cannot satisfy." Apply that today, if you will. There's all too much spent today that will not satisfy. Man becomes in turmoil. There's distress in the day in which we live. There is trouble. There is discouragement. We hear a lot about depression. Back when I was a young man growing up, I heard very little about these things. But the day has changed. We entered a different area. I believe the fore part of the day of tribulation. So he says, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich." No matter how much you might amass in the way of physical riches, it means nothing. It could be taken away in a moment. Our monetary system could fail here in the United States. And the savings could be nothing. Because if we really analyze this, and this is kind of a false security put out by banks, savings and loans and such, that this is all backed by the government, maybe $25,000, $50,000 in this. But when we read the full story, we find that they have only about a penny on a dollar to back it. So that is not too good a backing. It might even be less than that today. But anyway, that's the backing you got. So don't trust in the arm of flesh. And so it is here. You must trust in God, that you may be rich, and you put on white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, the white raiment of righteousness, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. There is the way. There is no other way. Rid ourselves of the things that defile. And he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. I really didn't intend to turn to this, but there's one in Proverbs before I finish that. It's found in the third chapter, verses 11 and 12. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. And so as many as the Lord loves, he rebukes and chastens. So if it needs be that we be rebuked or chastened, feel not bad, because he loves you. And this is one of my favorite, and I got so many I can't say a favorite. Jesus Christ said in this beautiful, wonderful invitation, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I love that passage of Scripture. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. But this is a part I really like. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame. That was Jesus Christ overcame, and have sat down with my Father, he said, in his throne. He that hath an ear, you and me this night, hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Many years ago, this was written, but it applies today. I hope you are making mental notes of this. I have a desire to touch your hearts tonight with the place where you each are, and your responsibility before God. Let's turn now back to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. I'd like to pick up with verse 6 and read down through 10. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. We know that. Right now, we're absent from the Lord because we're at home in this body, this house of clay that is holding this Spirit, which upon the death of this body, the Spirit goes back to the God who gave it life. But right now, we each are at home in our body here. And that's what he said. We're confident of that. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And we each today are walking by faith. We believe the way of life that is outlined before us. We believe here, we who have gathered here, a small gathering compared to some gatherings. We believe this through our faith, that there is a richer, fuller life to come if we will but outline our life in harmony with God and Christ. And so I want to touch each one of you tonight, that you might not be found wanting when you stand before the judgment bar of God, that you might be able to enter in, thou good and faithful servant. I want to touch you enough of the place where you are and the things you must rid in your life, if there be things you must rid, and that you might walk closely to God. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body, in other words, a spirit in heaven, than to be present with the Lord. Really, you know, I don't look to that as any great frightening thing to die. In fact, I'm kind of like some of the others. It'd be kind of a wonderful experience. I don't look toward death with fear. But yet I believe I have a work yet to do for the Lord. And that's why I desire yet to be here. I believe that I have a work yet to do to help lift people. And I believe the Lord has blessed me in my ministry to people. I've ministered to people in many places who are discouraged and distressed, and I try to bring them a message of hope and encouragement. And I want to bring you that same message of hope and encouragement tonight, because there is trouble on every side, and there's distress, and there's perplexion. I don't want you to give up. I want you to fight against Him who is the father of darkness, even the devil. I want you to fight against him. And oh, that we might unite our forces against the devil. All too often, we find ourselves fighting one another. And this isn't the way. Let's unify our forces against the power and the forces of evil. Wherefore we labor. Note this. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. And that's the important thing. Whether we're present with the Lord or whether we're absent, we're right here in this house of clay like we are tonight, that we might be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Remember that. Don't forget it. We're going to have to be there. And I hope it's good. Let's turn to the book of James 18. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Who is he anyway? Let him shew out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. That's who the wise man is. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. And envy and strife is hurting our world today. It's hurting our nation. It hurts people where they work. Some lose jobs because of the envy and strife they're in. But it comes further down. It hurts our church. It hurts our little church at Grand Junction from time to time. I'm not pointing a finger at one soul tonight, but I want to unify the breach and the restore of paths to dwell upon, brothers and sisters. So what I want to do. A breach comes. Division and strife. That's a breach. But if we're going to stand together, it's going to be in unity, and it will never be in division. That is from above, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. falsely assuming to be virtuous or religious. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. That's the only way it will be. You who make peace, the fruit of righteousness that you long for, you heard preached about already here, you're hearing preached about tonight, and I marvel again at how the Spirit of the Lord works, how He has touched various ones tonight with the same thought for our reunion. It is for a wise purpose. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. No other way. Let's turn to Isaiah, the 52nd chapter, and this is found in verses 7 and 8. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto God, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. So it said, how beautiful upon the mountains are those who publish peace. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice. With a voice together shall they sing. For they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. See eye to eye. What a beautiful, wonderful, moving experience that would be. I would like to turn to 1 Nephi, the 3rd chapter. Read verse 187. We find it speaks in verse 186. It says, and in them, speaking of this book that comes forth, shall be written my gospel, saith the Lamb, and my rock, and my salvation. It speaks of a day when this book would come forth by the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost. And then read, I want to read 187. And blessed are they who shall seek to bring forth my Zion at that day, for they shall have the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost. There it is. You who would seek really to bring forth His Zion would have the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost. I would like to turn over to chapter 7 in first book of Nephi, page 74, and read verse 30. And all that fight against Zion shall be destroyed. Now, I picked this out of the middle of my reading to give you a little clue. Now, I want to back up to verse 21 and listen to this closely. And I would, my brethren, that ye should know that all the kindreds of the earth cannot be blessed unless he shall make bare his arm in the eyes of all nations. So the arm of the Lord will be made bare in the eyes of all nations. Wherefore the Lord God will proceed to make bare his arm in the eyes of all nations in bringing about his covenants. And see how this marvels? We heard a bit about the covenants of the Lord last night to the house of Israel. This is a bit more tonight. And why is it marvel? I wrote down my notes here before I heard that sermon last night. So can we deny that the hand of the Lord is not in this? Wherefore the Lord will proceed, the Lord God will proceed to bear his arm in the eyes of all nations and bring about his covenants and his gospel. We look at the awesome task of going to all the world and spreading the gospel to every creature and soul. He said he'll bear his arm in bringing the covenants and his gospel. He can do it. unto those who are of the house of Israel. Wherefore he will bring them again out of captivity, and they shall be gathered together to the lands of their inheritance. That has not been done. It will be done. And they shall be brought out of obscurity and out of darkness, and they shall know that the Lord is their Savior and their Redeemer, the Mighty One of Israel. They'll know that. The Jews will accept him. The other of the house of Israel will accept him. The lost tribes of Israel will accept him. The house of Manasseh on this land will accept him. Will accept Jesus Christ. Now, that don't necessarily mean every living soul of them will, because every one of them, according to this same book, must needs come in the same way that every Gentile, everyone else comes, and that is through repentance. And unless the Jew repents, they will not become a delightsome people. But if they do, they will become a delightsome people and have Jesus Christ to be their God. Yes, they'll be brought out of obscurity and darkness, and they will know that the Lord is their Savior, their Redeemer, the Mighty One of Israel. And the blood of the great and abominable church, which is a horror of all the earth, shall turn upon their own heads. For they shall war among themselves. Now note that. We heard a bit about that last night, of that great and abominable church, how it would fight against the Lamb of God. But the time will come when the saints of God and the covenant people of the Lord will be armed with righteousness and the power of God in great glory. That time may be a lot closer than one thinks. But it does say the blood of that great church will turn upon their own heads, and they'll war among themselves. It also said that great church has dominions among all nations and peoples of this earth. Now, we're not fighting something that's this simple. Then it goes on to say, they'll war among themselves, and the sword of their own hand shall fall upon their own heads, and they shall be drunken with their own blood. And every nation which shall war against thee, O house of Israel, shall be turned one against another. And they shall fall into the pit which they dig to ensnare the people of the Lord. Now those who fight against Israel, those who fight against the people of the Lord, will fall into the pit that they tried to ensnare them in. And all that fight against Zion shall be destroyed. And that great whore who perverteth the right ways of the Lord, yea, that great and abominable church, shall tumble to the dust, and great shall be the fall of it. For behold, saith the prophet, the time speedily cometh, that Satan shall have no more power over the hearts of the children of men, when his powers will be bound. And how will that be done? By righteousness of the saints. You think it isn't important? Think twice. For the day soon cometh that all the proud and they who do wickedly and were living in a proud world shall be as stubble. And the day cometh that they must be burned. For the time soon cometh that the fullness of the wrath of God shall be poured out upon all the children of men. That day may not be far away. But notice this, the hope that I want to hold out for you tonight. For he will not suffer that the wicked shall destroy the righteous. Wherefore he will preserve the righteous by his power. Even if it so be that the fullness of his wrath must come, and the righteous be preserved, even unto the destruction of their enemies by fire. We cannot discount the greatness or the power of God in His Son, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, the righteous need not fear. So I wanted to hold out a special hope to you tonight. The righteous need not fear. For thus saith the prophet, they shall be saved, even if it so be as by fire. Behold, my brethren, I say unto you, that these things must shortly come. Yea, even blood and fire and vapor of smoke must come. I read a bit about that. I brought it to your attention out of Luke 21. The distress from the heavens. We even have others of this day. It says even the earth beneath. And it must needs be upon the face of this earth. And it cometh unto men according to the flesh. If it so be that they will harden their hearts against the Holy One of Israel. To those who would harden their hearts against the Holy One of Israel. For behold, the righteous shall not perish. For the time surely must come that all who fight against Zion must be cut off. Now I hope these words might have been impressed deeply in your souls and in your memory banks tonight. I have one other scripture, one verse, the book of Ether, the fifth chapter. It's found in verse 4. And I want to re-quote my opening verse first. And blessed are all they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. Wherefore, whoso believeth in God might with surety hope for a better world. Yes, a better world. Even a place at the right hand of God, which hope cometh of faith. It's the way we walk. Our life is by faith. Maketh an anchor to the souls of men. This hope maketh an anchor to the souls of men, which would make them sure and steadfast, always abounding in good works, being led to glorify God. Yes, we need this anchor of hope in this life sea. To steer us through it, we need the hope contained herein, that those of us who would believe and serve Him and keep His commandments, that we might with surety hope for a better place, even a place at the right hand of God.
Thank you, Lauren. Tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, we'll have our sacrament service. The